That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And we say good morning to you, Remnant. And thanks for joining us. This is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we're coming to you live from a beautiful sunny radio ranch on June 29th, 2019, and got a full crew this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Nick from Illinois. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul from Michigan. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And again, we say good morning to you, the Remnant. We thank you for joining us, and we say good morning to you, Lord Jesus. We ask you to pull up a chair and join us as well. And we know that you do, because we do gather in the name of Jesus Christ. And his word says, where two or more gather in his name, he will be there also. And so we do welcome you here. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning. And I've got a couple comments, a couple subject matters, I think, that we'll probably touch on this morning. But John, we'd ask you to open us up in prayer before we get going too far.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we praise you and we love you, Lord, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for all of the provisions that you've made. We thank you for all the promises that you've given us. And we thank you for the covenant, Lord, that you made with our father, Abraham, Father, that we have access to. We thank you for, once again, showing us, Lord, the power of that covenant. Father, we ask that you would hear our appeal to heaven. Father, that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment, Father, that you would open the doors that we need open and close the doors that we need closed. And Father, we thank you for those all across this country, especially I thank you for these two men this morning that made the sacrifice to serve you. Lord, one from Illinois and one from Michigan, that say, here I am, Lord, use me. what is it thou wouldest have thy servant do, and they have for many years. So, Father, we thank you that you, in your wisdom and understanding, have decided to use your people in different ways across the country as we slowly but surely put aside our own selfish wills, wants, and desires, and desire to serve you, to love you with all of our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. And Father, we know that we cannot accomplish that without your help, without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so we ask, Lord, your word says we have not because we ask not. Well, we are asking, Lord. We're asking for wisdom. We're asking for more Holy Spirit. We're asking that you would use us in mightier ways, Father, that you would give us the faith that we would be able to go forward no matter what the consequences, Lord, doing your work in your will, believing that Luke 10:19 is still there, that you've given us authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us, and we claim that promise. But Lord, we also thank you for the trials and the tribulations and the testing that comes in our lives, because your word says that you only test those that you love, and that we're to be grateful for all things. We ask that you forgive us, Lord, for our lack of faith at times and for our grumbling and our murmuring as we go through these tests and trials. Father, this morning we ask that you would direct us, Lord, as to what it is that's important for your people, the remnant, to hear and to understand, and how it applies to your word, the holy word of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for your continued protection to be upon those that are yours. We plead the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over those that are yours and their families and their loved ones and all that you've blessed them with. And Father, we thank you for the continued answer to prayer, that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy. And Lord, we see your mighty hand at work as 27 Antichrist idiots come together to try to pursue the highest office in the land. And Father, I ask that you would just cause them to turn upon one another and destroy one another before they even get to battle your servant, Donald Jehu Trump. Lord, hear us as we cry out, your people who are called by your name, as we humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, so that you will forgive our sin and heal our land. Father, we just ask that you would remember grace and mercy and compassion in your wrath, and that you would find us, your people, worthy to escape the things that are coming. It's in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 And amen. Hallelujah. And, yeah, John, Nick and I were talking just before the program this morning about that. Haven't watched the presidential hopeful debates. Didn't think I could stomach it. But the comments that have come out and have gotten emails already and just some of the highlights reminded me of a scripture verse. Of course, there are several of them. But Matthew 12:37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And the American people are getting this, full force. They are seeing, they are hearing, and so they know. There's no doubt about it. They know what, like you said, these 20 so idiots want to do. I mean, they've made it clear that, you know, they stand for increasing the tax on the middle class. They stand for confiscating guns. They want reparations for slavery. They want free energy, and that's what they're pushing. Free education, free insurance, including for illegals, and which would basically abolish the private health care. That's what they want. That is what these people that, like you said, want to lead this country, that is what they are pushing and promoting, promising, you might say. And so the people are going to get a choice. Choose you this day. That will come next year when it comes to a leader. They know.
Become more bold and brazen by the day. And when you have the moderator ask all 10 in the second debate whether they are for free health care for the illegal aliens, and they all stand and raise their hands. It's the terrors.
And everybody applauds.
Bold and brave.
Yep, and everybody applauds.
Well, not everybody. That's what I got out of it, and the fact that they're attacking one another just as we've been praying.
Yes.
And that the things that were done in the dark continue to be brought to the light. I mean, we're seeing that. If you look for it, you can see it almost on a daily basis in the mainstream news media. And I don't think they understand what's going on, and I don't think they understand why all of the spells and witchcraft and the things that they used to do in the past to keep the people occupied and under their will are not working anymore. I don't think that they understand what's going on, and I'm sure they're in a panic. I believe they're in a panic.
Yeah,
it sure appears
so.
That way. They're not hiding so much as they used to, and I can see that confusion. It's in their camp and on the increase daily, and it's good. It always reminds me of Matthew 13 with those tares being more and more exposed as the kingdom comes to its fruition, comes getting closer by the day. We're told they're going to be more exposed, and I think we're seeing that as well.
Yeah, I thought probably one of the most interesting things that happened here in the last couple of days was that G20 meeting where Putin comes out publicly and attacks Western views on gay rights and multiculturalism, and says that immigrants are free to kill, plunder, and rape with impunity because of their rights are protected, and then he gloated that Western liberalism has outlived its purpose and was on its way out of favor, blasted Angela Merkel for her cardinal mistake. It wasn't a mistake, it was planned, of allowing 1 million refugees into Germany in 2017. And he boldly proclaimed that he criticized Western views on gay rights, immigration, and multiculturalism, which he blamed were an attack on traditional family values. That's really all you need to know.
Wow.
And that comes from the leader of Russia. How about that? How about that?
Which shows why they hate him so much.
That's right.
Why they lumped him in with Donald Trump.
Yep, they see it, and they put it out, and like you said, John, the spells are not working as much anymore. Everything, evil Russia, everything Russia does is evil, evil, evil. That's what we've been programmed, all of my life, Russia's they're the bear there. They are everything that they do. Now, I'm not saying that they're saints. We can't. What's the term? Throw the baby out with the bathwater. When truth is spoken, it doesn't matter if it's spoken. Who it's spoken from. Truth is truth, it is. It's part of the spell being broken. That even truth from, what we've been programmed to believe is the leader of the enemy. It's still truth. It is. Now, whether the people are going to believe it or not.
Right. Yeah, we were taught since children, at least I was, and I suspect all you were as well, in public school, they would flat out call Russia evil and warn us about it. And I remember having one little moment in grade school even, because all my teachers would do that. At times they would speak about Russia, how evil they were, and they, you know, they tell all the citizens what they're going to do and be, and, you know, in contrast that we're so free here. And I remember one teacher making a comment about, you know, they separate the children from the families, and they train them to do what they do. And just for a moment there, I thought, well, I'm separated all day from my family when I'm here, you know. And so that was kind of the one little chink in the armor in grade school even. And so, yeah, I suspect you all were taught the same thing in public school. Is that right?
Yeah, it's funny to see the outrage sometimes when you say, you know, I'll boldly proclaim that I trust Putin more than I do half these demon rats, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, because I've read articles about him reading his Bible, and, you know, I don't know what degree his faith is in Christianity or whatever, but I believe he's exhibited more morality than many of our so-called demon rat politicians.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Even more than Christians, you know, it puts us to shame, some of these statements.
Yep.
Well, he's absolutely right.
Well, hence,
you look at the moral decay of Western, he didn't say Western civilization, Western liberalism, because that's part of what has been Europe's downfall, and we've talked about that. You know, Europe's the big sister, and they have had this liberality, just what the Dems are pushing here, gun control, free insurance, free medical care, no private health care. Free education, everything's fine. And what have they done? Higher taxes. They've been doing that 30, 40 years longer than we have. And the debauchery. They've accepted gay marriages. They've accepted the homosexuals in leadership roles in churches. All that. Anything goes. Pedophilia, that's fine over in Europe. It's just part of their culture now. That's fine. And you see where it's gotten them. They are being destroyed, invaded, their women are being raped and killed. And, you know, I saw a blurb this morning, thefts on the subway in this Muslim mayor's England, who has a Muslim mayor now. Just let that sink in. You know, Rob Dottie or whatever his name is. Subway robbings up 80% in the last 3 years. Their society is being absolutely destroyed, just like the Word of God says, because of this liberalism. They accept it all, the queers, the sinners, the illegals. The illegal invaders have more rights than the people that were born there, have been raised there, and are working and paying taxes. It is an absolute invasion and a destruction of society. And you're right, John. Putin is right on this. He's 100% but more accurate than any of those dim Democratic presidential hopefuls the last few nights that have been out on, and see, but that's what they're doing. It's wag the dog, right? Oh, look over here and see what's going on. We want to show you. Look at this, and pay no attention to what Putin's saying. Pay no attention to the truth that's coming out. But truth is truth, and that is the downfall of a civilization. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and that means the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls homosexuality a sin and abomination, and he tells you to repent of it, not to flaunt it in front of people. And that goes for stealing, that goes for lying, that goes for coveting, that goes for adultery. I think I just described most of our Congress, though, and their actions. And it has been our downfall. It's the downfall of our civilization. You know, they passed what this past year, all day kindergarten down in Colorado, passed it. All day free kindergarten. Okay? All day free kindergarten, and it passed, and the people just applauded. Oh, this is great. Why? Because if there are a mother and a father in the home, they're both working, and they're having to pay somebody to watch their kid. Just like you said, Nick. You know, the families are separated. And the government does that, and then the government decides what's taught. Because in the public schools, brothers, they will teach transgenderism. They do teach transgenderism and homosexuality and all that, and they explain to these third graders how to do these things and what these things are, and it's come home to roost. And if it doesn't change, we are exponentially running toward that precipice. As fast, it seems like, this country, as fast as it can, the majority anyway. And if it doesn't change, it's going to make what happened, what we're seeing over in Europe, it's going to make that look like a July 4th holiday. It's going to make that look fun. And the people just are oblivious to it. Wake up. Wake up, America.
July 4th should be a day of mourning. If you would realize what the people did to free this country and what we have today, it should be a day of mourning.
Amen.
And repentance. Amen. I mean, it's pathetic to people. What are they celebrating? I mean, they're partying. They ain't got a clue what's going on. They have no idea what George Watt and that boy slid that winter in Valley Forge. They haven't got a clue what's going on. It's pathetic. And see, what American people got to do, they got to choose who's God, whose rules are going to live by, Uncle Sam's or God's. It's that simple. We're talking all about symptoms here, symptoms. The Bible is a two-edged sword, and we haven't wielded it. And I'm looking myself in the face, and I'm guilty here. But, we have not wielded that two-edged sword. If God be for us, who can be against us? 3% of the American people fought and won the Revolutionary War with opposition of indifference or total opposition toward them. They want to be part of the system. And this is what we have today. And Pastor Peter's prayers are coming to fold, And we're just filling that gap, but we need to wield that sword more.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Go ahead.
We should call for a day of repentance and fasting and prayer, maybe July 3rd, the day before the 4th of July. Just like you said, it should be a day of mourning when you think at how things have changed from the time of our independence to today. And by design, I don't even think they're teaching any of that stuff in school anymore. I don't know for sure, but I would bet that they're not teaching any of the history of the revolution or how this country came to be, or the sacrifices that were made to make this country.
Well, they
so
do
you need to take
they do that. Teach yeah they teach what those evil white slave owners did. That's about what they teach. And that's about as far as it goes. When it comes to the Revolutionary War anymore.
I mean, you have to dig hard to find this information. It ain't out there. They're just hidden as much as they can. It's still there, though the people want it. But I'm telling you, it's pretty well hidden, unless you're looking.
Oh, absolutely. It is. A book that we carry called The Light and the Glory. And Jason has mentioned, when he was in school, in homeschool and some private schools, that was their history book. That was the history book they used, The Light and the Glory. We still carry it. They still print it, praise the Lord. And it does do that. It tells, not from the Anglo-Israel viewpoint, but from a true historical Christian viewpoint, the prayers that were offered up and the fasting and the repentance that went on with the pilgrims and leading into the Revolutionary War. The moral character, that the moral Christian character that our founding fathers had, it is all but lost on this, on our society today.
Yeah, I think one thing that people... Go ahead, Nick.
No, go ahead, John.
I think one thing that people are missing right now is what's going on with regards to Ezekiel 38, the Prince of Persia, Iran, and I don't think people understand that the Straits of Hormuz are such a critical piece to the world economy, and if they shut down that Straits of Hormuz, then 90% or 80% of the world's oil would be shut down, and oil would go from, you know, $50 a barrel to possibly, you know, $1,000 a barrel pretty quickly, then that alone wouldn't destroy the economy, the world economy. But I think they're called derivatives, or it's some kind of insurance that's on these oil tankers and on the futures of oil that is in the quadrillions, which I guess is more than a trillion, but, you know, at that point, what difference does it make but a few zeros on a computer? But anyways, quadrillions, I think they said $7 or $8 quadrillion ride on the derivatives or the insurance policies on these oil futures. And that could literally bring the world economy down, you know, in a day, which is really what the Bible says, right? That Babylon would fall in that day. And
well, you know, that whole insurance issue is a huge issue. Insurance has destroyed this country. What insurance destroys is personal responsibility in a car, and health, it puts your faith in the doctors. Insurance is not for Christians. You know, we have to live with it. You know, I ain't telling you you're doing wrong, but I'm telling you what that whole mentality of insurance is, because it destroys all responsibility. They don't care if they wreck a car or anything like that. It's paid for. You know, they just pay their dues, but insurance has destroyed this country, morally.
Yes, yeah, not
unfortunately, in Babylon, you know, Dad used to say, in Babylon, sometimes you have to do like Babylon.
Well, you know, I have personally lived without health insurance for 40 years, because that destroys my faith. And that's why I did it, because I could afford it if I wanted it. But I can die without buying them a boat or a car or whatever else they want. Because those people, everybody has gone down, you know, they've taken the moral care out of a doctor. You know, they take that oath, that Hippocratic oath, and to do it, and they just don't care if you live or die, to be honest with you. Most of them, there's always an exception to what I'm just saying. There's some good people out there, still a remnant out there. And that's exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
One thing I'm learning that's critical, and I think maybe it's not the right time to talk about it, but I think it's important for our people to understand, is the way that the Babylonian system set up right now. If you do get into ill health in your latter years, they basically can take everything that you worked for your whole life. What they're trying to do is steal the inheritance that we're leaving for the next generation, but there's a way to protect that through an irrevocable trust, and I'm not selling trust or anything, I'm just telling you to look into it. But the rules have changed now that those trusts must be in place 5 years before the passing of that person, and it avoids probate, and it basically removes their ability to take any of your assets. So I guess it's kind of contradictory when you think about it, because we're not the type of people that are going to go into government health care. I mean, we're the kind of type of people who believe in the generation, our younger generation is supposed to take care of the older generation, just as the older generation took care of the younger generation. But it's still, I think it's prudent to possibly to look into those irrevocable trusts and protect what it is that the Lord's blessed you with, so that you can pass it on to the next generation, because none of us really know what's going to happen.
Well, let me tell you what, an attorney can get through anything. I know a man that bought a farm, they have this land preservation, if it's in agriculture, it's supposed to be there for the rest of their life, and this guy bought this farm, and he was good with it, he wanted to farm it. He got a call from an attorney to ask him if he wanted to get it out. So,
get it out.
I don't.
What do you mean?
Yeah, if you're dealing with an attorney, you're dealing with trouble.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You see, that's what people don't understand. An attorney has no standing in court without a client. The client has the power, but he's so stupid he doesn't know how to exercise it. You know, an attorney is a parasite. I mean, there's a place for them. you know, especially a moral one, if there is such a thing, you know, because you cannot go into court without one and do anything, it'll just fry you. But anyway, I think even what you're talking about, John, is a bit of a symptom, because if we had righteousness, we wouldn't need that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open this morning, halfway through the coffee program, and the phone number, if you'd like to call, is 307-745-5913. And Brother Nick, I think you were starting off with something. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No problem. Yeah, no, something Paul said earlier about the mindset of the people, you know, they're so blinded anymore, and you see it with these younger generations especially, they really haven't been trained in any truth or righteousness. And a little something that happened yesterday to me on a job, there was I was putting a service in, and these two men were putting the AC unit in, and I was kind of working with them. And one was a young, just maybe in his early 20s, I suspect. Well, it was in a restaurant that's not open yet, and the owner and a carpenter was up there, and they're Judeo-Christians, you know. Well, apparently they were speaking against homosexuals, and I didn't hear it, but this kid heard it, and he got all upset. So he came back there to where me and this other man were working, and he said, he told us what happened, and I mean, he was all upset about it. Because apparently his brother or somebody in his family was a homo. So he was all bent out of shape about it. And, so I just told him, I said, hey, I said, now think about this. I said, they're just telling the truth up there. I didn't hear the conversation, but I said, now suppose somebody in your family, say your uncle was an adulterer, and they were up there speaking against adultery. I said, would you be all offended and bent out of shape? And, you know, he just shut up right away. And I forget what else we talked about, but I went on a little bit of a rant, but I was calm about it. And that kid calmed right down. And he even thanked me for saying something and getting him to think. But, you know, that hadn't occurred to him, and I also got to interject the idea to him that, look, you were programmed to respond that way. You're supposed to get all offended. But I said, you know, you don't on these other sins, if, you know, whether it be fornication or stealing or whatever. I said, why don't you get bent out of shape on those things if somebody's talking against them? So, you know, that really set him to thinking, and I just kind of let it go with that. And, but I believe, you know, though, and the other man heard it too, and he liked what he was hearing, and it just brought to mind about, you know, there's going to come a day where people's going to want to know these things out of their desperation. I think it's in Zechariah where 10 men will grab your garment and want you to teach them the ways of the Lord. And just little things like that, that reminds them of where to go to. And they know how to find you. They'll know who to find when the time's right.
Yeah, it's like the famine of knowledge that's coming too. You know, right now we have the opportunity to continue to try to save as many as we can, to bring them to repentance, to break the spells that they're under, especially the younger generation if they've gone through the public fool system. And we have an obligation to do that.
We do.
And like I said, it's important that we, you know, we know a lot because we've been blessed to know a lot, and we've had a lot of things revealed to us. But we have to be very careful that we just give them a little bit, just like you did, a little bit of that salt. It, you know, you liken it to, you put a little salt on your food to enhance the flavor, but if you took the top off and you poured the whole bottle on your food, then your food would be inedible. So it's so important for us to understand, and, you know, and I have to fight that all the time too, to be patient and to be, I guess, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but bottom line is, we have an obligation to do just that, to share the truth with these younger generation. It's sad that we were up in Laramie here just the other day, and I'll tell you what, there's probably not one business in that town that does not have a gay pride flag flying. And you think about that from the time when
Pastor Peters took a stand against the homosexuality there in Laramie. And I don't think he could fathom what's going on in the world today. And but you know, it's all an agenda. And something that the Lord showed me this week too was Joel Osteen and his wife Victoria. They you know, we know what they are, but again, the terrors are bold and brazen. They attended a Lady Gaga concert in New York, and essentially by reading about it and looking at the pictures, not for long, but what it is, it's Sodom and Gomorrah. They understand that if we get to a point where man's thoughts are continually evil, and they know that it's the sexual perversion that's probably the quickest way to get to that point, that God will destroy the earth just like he did with the flood. It won't be with the flood this time. The word tells us that. But he will rain down fire upon the earth, and they know that. And that's why for the last 20 years that I know of, you can see the progression and the agenda of this homosexuality. And it's not just that anymore. I mean, it's, you know, they got the gay marriage thing through, and now it's the transgender thing. And just like Richard was talking about earlier, Europe, it's pedophilia. And the Muslims, you know, you can say whatever you want, but those Muslims, they practice that pedophilia. There's no doubt about it. And their Sharia law and all that, that's their end game for this country.
You know, I always think of that story that Pastor Peter talks when he's up fixing fence and them elk, and he went to scare them, and they didn't scare. And then who's afraid of who? This is what we got to keep in mind. Who's afraid of who? This Navy's going down. We're talking to survivors. And like John, you said, I did that message in Bronson some time ago about feed my sheep. You don't feed a sick calf a lot. You just, you know, you don't feed them.
Right.
And it's a real simple. If you're talking to a person, they change the subject, they are on overload. Shut your mouth right then and there, because they just shut it down. They can't take no more. And if you look how Jesus operated, he always asked questions. He could tip over a money table now and then, but the people that were hurting, he was very tender with. And he's, you know, and a question, you know, just like you talking that, well, you got that. See, that's a Anglo-Saxon there. The law is written on his heart. He just needs a little tweaking, and it lit right up. And that's, you see, and I think that's what Trump has done for this country. He's given people the courage to say it. They had a fair here in town. I didn't go there, but I heard this guy that was running the rodeo. He told people to stand up and take their hat off twice, and the third time he says, you will stand up and take your hats off. And things are changing. You know, that salt is out there, and it's coming alive. And it's kind of exciting, really. If we quit looking at what they're doing and look at what we're doing, you see, no, that'll never hit the press, stuff like that. There was a detective down in Tennessee. He was a preacher by Sunday, but he was a detective or something. And he came out and said, I've had enough of him sticking this queer thing down my throat. He says, it's gross. You know, and he's coming out and saying, this is going all over the country, but it don't hit the news.
Right.
It is pretty exciting times. I'm excited about life at the moment.
It is. Well, we have to remember that it's the remnant. It's not the masses. The masses are not going to turn. You go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Who made it out? Lot. There you go. It's a remnant. It's a remnant. Guys, phone's ringing. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning, Richard. Good morning, Ben. God bless us all, those who strive for truth. And
amen. Good morning, Joe.
Are saved. I would like to relate to you an incident, not an incident, but an observation I made while at the public library up in town yesterday. And I was sitting there at the public library computer there taking care of some business. And I looked around me, and There was almost nobody in that place with a book in their hand. And in a library, there was nobody with a book. There was this huge sculpture of a distorted sculpture of an elephant, and it's a thing in the you know, it's from floor to ceiling. It was made out of papier-mâché, And there was a time, I'm sure you all remember, when there was there used to always be a sign in the library someplace, and it was big enough and high enough for everybody to see, and it says, "Be quiet." And I'm looking around, and there's, I'd say 8 or 10 very young children screaming and hollering and playing. They had a little, child-sized something or other made of plastic where they could play. It, it resembled a house, you know, for them to crawl in and crawl out. They're all hopping around, and have, they're basically having a lot of fun. And it, the thought crossed my mind, why are these children not outside in the beautiful summer sun playing on the grass? The town of Susquehanna, where I was at, north of me, they had just finished building probably a multi-million dollar park right next to the river. And there's acres, literally acres of open grass, and nice and flat, well-groomed. Why aren't these children out there playing outside in the sunshine? And another thought occurred to me. The town ordinance, there's probably a town ordinance prohibiting school children from playing outside, because the town of Susquehanna is it's got a dark side to it. A lot of Section 8 housing, and Section 8 housing is basically government housing, according to what I've been told. And there's a lot of crime, a lot of drugs, a lot of street drugs and stuff going around. You don't see it all very often, but it's there. And I thought to myself, you know, Pastor Peter said, thank God for Babylon. And I was thinking, you know, if the children have to play in a library where you pretty much go in there, there's books, but there's not many of them anymore. There's you understand the conclusion that I came to? Thank God for Babylon. At least the children have somewhere to safe to exercise their youthful exuberance.
Yeah, it's I think it ties in, John's.
Drag queen.
Yeah, until the drag queen hour comes around. John's talked about that Agenda 21 quite a bit. They've been implementing it in the large cities, and it's what they do. It's what they do. Yeah, they'll spend multi-million dollars on these great parks, but what happens to them? Do the people use them? Well, the drug dealers do. You know, the hookers do.
It is they're trying to empty their coffers before the fiscal year ends so that they could get more government money,
so
more federal and state money.
Right, it doesn't really.
And they figure, oh, you know, let's build this park, you know, dump all the money in there. It's a tax haven, I'm sure.
Yep.
A write off.
Yep.
And so forth. I lived in a town where I grew up. They did exactly that. They built a park on my road in order to just empty the fiscal coffers so that they could get more appropriations. And that's what local government's all about. It's school taxes and appropriations.
Right.
And you see very little of the elected officials out doing, you know, being friendly to the constituents. Except when it comes time to get reelected.
That's right. That's right. Then they're out kissing babies, shaking hands, and telling you they've done all this stuff. And so, it's Babylon. It is. It is. It is not the form of representative government that we've had.
Let's get back to it.
All right, Joe. Thanks.
I'll talk to you guys later. God bless you.
Yeah, the way those cities work. You know, Oregon's been in the news lately, but Portland. The police are out doing test dives, and they find 57 of these free electric scooters and bikes that the city of Portland has put out. You know, they're called, well, they call them Lime scooters, and have them around town
And again, it's part of this Agenda 21, a part of this free transportation. Oh, just ride one of our free bikes around town. Just ride one of our free scooters and scoot around town. And the people are throwing them in the river. You know, there again, it's one of those, it's portrayed as a good idea, but, you know, anything that's free is not appreciated, for one thing. Can only imagine what the environmental impact is as well. All these electric batteries and components and stuff just thrown in the river. It's just another little example that shows that what this Agenda 21, the enemies are trying to do and doing in these cities, doesn't work, isn't working, comes back to kind of bite them.
I witnessed that firsthand probably 20 years ago up in Bethel, Alaska. It's Bethel, but I call it Bethel. It's an Eskimo village that I was working with another brother in Christ, putting up an X-RAD weather radar site, and had an opportunity to make good money for several weeks or months. And one thing you notice up there is the Eskimos, they're given snowmobiles and stuff like that, and they'll take them out, and if they get them stuck or they crash them or something, they just come back and get another one. And they had crates and crates of brand new snowmobiles just sitting there that they could just come and ask for one and get one. And then the housing, they just built beautiful new housing, and all of the utilities, the water lines and all that were super insulated above ground because it's on the tundra. So you can't really dig down and bury stuff in the tundra because the tundra freezes. And it was just interesting to see, all of this. You give them all this stuff. You give them these snowmobiles and beautiful housing and this and that, and how they just destroyed it. And it's the same concept, you know. If you don't work for it, you don't have skin in the game, then you're not going to appreciate it. Especially those that don't have the laws of God written on their heart, that don't have the thank. You know, they're not thankful for the things that they get.
Amen. Amen. Remember the pastor's teaching, you know, bottom line of wisdom, there is no free lunch. There is no free lunch. Somebody's got to pay for it. I've been seeing around that, you know, when people talk about government funded, there is no government funded. Just like Joe talked about Section 8 housing, government funded, that's taxpayer funded. That's us paying for that with taxes. Not government funded, it's just government spending our money.
But with $21 trillion in debt, it's all funny money.
Well, it is. It's all just leading to that, or continuing that slavery and that indebted to the system. Like Paul had mentioned about that the people have the power, they just don't realize it. They don't realize it. And when they're in sin, they don't have it. They don't have it. And that's why the enemy keeps us there.
This is kind of new, you know, because that the Mackinac Bridge here that goes between the straits was built with private money and turned over to the state. Now, that's what private money can do if you don't tax it to death. And we are total socialists at the moment. I mean, everybody thinks the government pays for everything, but people pay for it.
That's right.
You send it to Washington or wherever your state capital is, you can't believe how much gets sucked out of it. It's productivity of what it can do. But if people have it in their pocket, they can do that. See, the Amish still got that figured out. They take care of themselves. That's one thing I have going for those people. But see, you can have those principles, and this is not in the religion and the churches today. It's just not there. I'll tell you a story. I was a deacon one time in this church that I was raised in, and this guy came. They needed financial help, and they worked. They were just stupid, and I don't mean that in a bad way. They were just stupid. They needed help managing their money. So they come to the church. They turned them over to social service. They shirked their duty right then and there. You know what I mean? Somebody would have took the time. They could have helped them people. You know, you can encourage them. You know?
Right. Well, teach them a little bit about economics.
Well, yeah, but this all starts, you know, the judgment will start in the house of the Lord, because that's where it's wrong. I mean, this is ridiculous. Judeo-Christianity is total insanity, and they've created socialism and communism.
Yeah, it's funny. You want to get an outrage of people or a different outlook, just bring up the fact that, I do this quite often, that you realize where we lost the country was in the churches, right? And they look at you, and I said,
absolutely.
Yeah, all the churches have become lukewarm, you know? If they were still preaching fire and brimstone, the people's morality was basically affected by, you know, the pastor's chart is so pertinent, and I think it almost should be printed and put up in every school and every courthouse and every government building, that it was the religious condition, you know, that affects the spiritual condition of the people. And I don't have it all memorized, but bottom line was that was so profound to understanding how the enemy has taken over our country. And it was, you know, obviously the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. They took over the media, they took over the schools, and one of the last pieces of the puzzle was to infiltrate and take over the churches. But another thing that Pastor used to say that always hit home with me was they don't play checkers, they play chess. And because they play chess, you know, some of these things have been plans for 50 years. You know, some of you guys have seen that in the progression. Paul, you probably have a pretty good understanding of how these things have progressed.
I've seen the tail end of righteousness.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen the tail end of righteousness when a man's word was gold, you know, and there was always a shicer here and there. But they see, when the church runs things, they can clean house. When government does it, they could care less. It makes a difference if you're spending your money or somebody else's money. It's a huge difference. You know, I can spend your money a lot easier than I can mine.
Amen.
You know,
that's a fact.
Amen. You know, the quote from...
you know, that debate...
Go ahead, John.
Say what? Was basically just, who can give the most stuff away is what it was if you listen to it, you know. Well, I'll give you 5 years of free college education. Well, wipe out all debt, you know. Well, I'll give you free Medicare, and I'll do this, I'll do that, you know, it's hard to beat Santa Claus. So bottom line is we don't have, it's not a shoe win that Trump's going to win the next election. It's about repentance, and it's about how many people are literally going to cry out and ask for grace and mercy and compassion and do their part, not only in turning from their wicked ways, but turning people from their wicked ways to repentance. That's what it's going to be about. And each one of us has an obligation. With great reward comes great responsibility. And if you think that you're special because you're the remnant, you're called, you're chosen, and you're not doing anything to promote the kingdom or to pull those out of the pit, then I wouldn't want to be the one answering to the great judge on Judgment Day, that's for sure.
Well, you take the story of Joel, what's his name, going to that concert like that. You just... He's riding high on the hog. Can you imagine the misery that he's about in just in front of him? You know,
God's got a special place for him.
Oh, especially for a pastor. I mean, you ought to make sure you're supposed to be a pastor, because that's a lot of responsibility.
When you're going to leave them teachers, as you will incur stricter judgment.
Amen.
That's right. But I mean, I see a thing, I get these news things on my phone, and I see all these rich pastors, you know. They're all rich, you know. You take it. Don says, if you live godly, you will be hated. Now, Pastor Peters was hated. Now, I should tell you something. Billy Graham, multimillionaire. Charles Stanley, millionaires, you know. Joyce Myers, millionaires. I mean, living off people's sin is what they're doing. And it sounds so good. Way it seems right, but leads to destruction, and they're certainly on it. You said something, John, earlier, like, you know, they just don't understand. They're children of the devil. I think they understand just fine.
Absolutely.
See, that's an Israelite. That's an Israelite weakness. We think they don't understand, my brother. You know, and I said, wake up. They are evil, and they're evil to the core.
I'll go further than that. They've made a deal with the devil for their riches, rewards, and notoriety here on earth. There's no doubt.
Sold out for temporary. Sold out for temporary benefits.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
No doubt.
That is what they've done, and I like how you put it earlier, Nick, when you talked to that young man, to, hey, think about that, to get them thinking. And you even mentioned about it, Paul, is, and you know, that's what you have to do with these Anglo-Israels. You have to get them thinking. And the example you gave, Nick, did that very thing. You know, get them thinking about this. Hey, don't just be offended, but what if it was like this? And ask those questions and get them thinking. Because we've been, one of the number one things today? Entertainment. Entertainment. And that means to get you to not to think, to where you're not thinking. And we do have to turn that around. And to get the people thinking that, you know, listen, this is, what is sin? What is sin and why? Why are these things coming against us? And the answers are in the Bible. And again, what a privilege to have learned under Pastor Peters and have had our eyes opened. And then, as you said, John, that there's that great responsibility that comes along with it, is to help others, to share with others, not to cram it down their throat, not to pour the bag of salt on it, but a little bit to get them thinking and to bring them to repentance. So. Well, guys, we're about out of time. We want to make sure we invite you to church tomorrow, Remnant, and you can join us at right there on the computer at scriptures4america.org. You can hit that at 8:30 Mountain Time, 8:30 in the morning Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And good Lord willing, we'll be there. And John, looking forward to your live message, and we'll have communion, give you the opportunity to fellowship with the saints, even if it's on the computer, and to gather with like-minded Christians. And again, our pastor understood the need for that and the importance for that, and put this live stream together before anybody else was doing it. That live stream, not recording and playing it later, but live. And we continue to do that. We send out the DVD Church for those that don't have the computer, give you that opportunity as well. But we do want to invite you to come to church. Men, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you have a blessed day, and God bless.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stake high.
Ha!
Ha! Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake-eyed. Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake-eyed. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake-eyed. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.